Time for another show.
Another show?
No, not another show. One show, one drink. It's part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network and Bar and Grill. We are back with another drink, another show. What's our show tonight?
Tonight, we're doing Stripes.
Stripes?
We're going into the Wayback Machine.
1981?
1981. 41 years young.
Yeah, and we're going to do a little side trip to Czechoslovakia. It's just like Wisconsin.
I got my ass beat in Wisconsin.
We zip in, we zip out.
All right. On that note, let's roll the intro. Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a Booze Dancing Media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can always find us on boozedancing.com. And please, 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 if you have any drink suggestions, cocktail suggestions, show suggestions, anything, have something you want to ask us, shoot us an email at boozedancing@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. All right, sir. You ready to go to Wisconsin?
Let's go to Wisconsin.
So we talked about the movie. What is the beverage?
In honor of the Canadian trio of actors in Stripes, we are doing a Canadian single malt from the Glen Breton Distillery in Nova Scotia. This is the Glen Breton Rare, 14-year-old, ABV of 43%. So this is interesting because it's single malt. It's not your typical Canadian whiskey. So this is more like a scotch.
Let's get a little cheers going.
Should we do a little cheers?
Gentlemen, cheers. Cheers.
On the back of the box, it says, I'm not going to try to say this in Scottish or Gaelic, to your excellent health. I was actually gifted this lovely whiskey by a good friend of mine in Calgary.
Okay, so what do we got here on this whiskey? Do we know what it's aged in?
I'm assuming it's just a bourbon barrel. It doesn't say.
It smells sweet, like more candied fruit than you know, apples or plums or something. It's like candied oranges to me.
Little history about the Cape Breton area. In the early 1800s, Scottish immigrants chose Cape Breton Island for their new home as its beauty so resembled the highlands and islands of Scotland. Many traditions and secrets came with these pioneers. The making of a spirited whiskey was one of them.
So they know what they're doing. It's a nice tradition.
I went in for a taste. The nose is kind of light. I'm not really getting a whole lot on the nose. Maybe a little vanilla.
Boy, this tastes way hotter than 43.
And to me, the finish just builds. But you finish it, doesn't seem like much, and then it kind of comes back with a little more peppery.
It's not. It's very Highlandy.
Yeah, it's got like some fruit. It's got like some baked apple, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of vanilla.
Yeah, it's a space cider, right?
I think it's more of a Highlander.
It's not super spicy, I don't think. It's got a little. It's a little cinnamony, a little bit on the cinnamon side. But it's not like, it's not sugary or, you know, cloyingly sweet. It just has a sweet note to it.
It's kind of light on the mouthfeel, maybe a little oily.
It's not like the usual, like, I don't know, bad section of the pharmacy stuff we usually drink from Isla.
No.
You know, the iodine and the mercurochrome and the Band-Aids.
You speak lovingly.
I do. I love every minute of it. It's so good. It's so good. But yeah, this is nice. This is very nice.
It's a nice change of pace. Mm-hmm. If you didn't tell me that this was from Nova Scotia, I would think this was Scotch. I think this was a Scotch.
It could be like a Glenlivet or a Glenfiddich, like that sort of thing. Some of the younger ones, like they're 12-year-olds.
This is 14-year-old. And I'm, like we said, it's probably just a bourbon cask. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't feel like a wine cask.
It's a little too sweet for me.
Is it? You think it's too sweet?
It has like a candied kind of flavor to me. Mm. That's what I'm getting more than anything.
When Ange said Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, it's kind of in that family to me, too. It's not my go-to flavors of whiskey, but it's good. It's solid.
And it has like a woody note to it.
It does have a woody note to it, yeah.
Well, you know, 13 years or 14 years in the barrel will do that to you, right?
There's a little less balance to it. It's a little sweet, a little spicy, a little oaky, but not kind of all together. It's not bad.
No, it's good. So, shall we get into the movie?
So we got Stripes. Right. So we've seen Stripes. I've seen it a ton. So I was just concentrating on the two principal people in it, Ivan Reitman and Harold Ramis. So I just did a quick, you know, Wikipedia, IMDb search of their stuff. So Reitman does Meatballs, Stripes, Ghostbusters. You could just quit there. You don't have to make another movie ever. Then he made League of Legals. Not really sure what that was about. Then he made Twins, Ghostbusters 2, Kindergarten Cop. Then he made Dave. I'm not sure what that was about either. I like Dave, though. That's a good movie. Harold Ramis He writes Animal House, writes Meatballs, directs and writes Caddyshack, writes Stripes, writes Ghostbusters, writes Back to School, directs and writes Groundhog Day, directs and writes Analyze This, directs and writes Analyze That. That's a career. That's unbelievable. Who cares what else he did? That's unbelievable what he did.
They are Hall of Famers. They've done it all in the last 40 years. And Ramis also is a, you know, an actor too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he may have been an actor.
Yeah. And not a person who wanted to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know, he was a sheepish actor, you know, he, you know, starting out on in SCTV and being on SCTV that first or second season, you could tell he was uncomfortable being in front of a camera, but it plays so well. He's even uncomfortable looking in a lot of parts of Stripes.
I think that's the point, is you give him the uncomfortable character and he plays it so well because he seems genuinely uncomfortable. So initially I saw something, and this was a Cheech and Chong movie. So this was going to be a Cheech and Chong go to the army. And Cheech and Chong went to Reitman and told Reitman, we'll do the movie for 25% of your next five movies.
Whoa.
This was their manager. Unbeknownst to Cheech and Chong, but this was their manager. And Reitman was like, no. So he went back to the studio in the Wayback Machine, and they came up with a different treatment where it was Animal House goes to the army. And they came up with this whole thing. Dennis Quaid was going to play Ziske.
Wow.
And Bill Murray said, if it isn't Harold Ramis, I'm going to walk. Because he was really good friends with Harold Ramis at the time, and he wanted to be in the movie with him. And I guess he thought he could play this kind of neurotic, put upon guy, and it'd be perfect. If this was Dennis Quaid playing that role, it's a whole different thing. If Cheech and Chong are in this movie, that's a whole different movie. So they make the movie. It's the number five movie for 1981. It made $85 million, which was a huge amount of money in 1981. And it has an 88% rating at Rotten Tomatoes. So over time, it's held up. You know, Rotten Tomatoes wasn't around 40 years ago. So, you know, they're able to go and people are watching now going, that's still a good movie.
I haven't seen it in probably 20, 30 years. And I just watched it again this week. And it still makes me laugh. Yeah. I think it's still held up. There might be a few things that might be, you know, maybe not so appropriate 40 years later. But overall, I think it's a funny damn movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It's well conceived. The story's really good. You know, these, I don't know, guys become heroes. You got this great cast around them. It's funny throughout. It's a Bill Murray vehicle, right? Turn him on and let him go. And he pretty much does. This was like his real big, big movie, I think.
Timeline. 1979, Meatballs. Caddyshack, 1980. Stripes, 1981.
Yeah.
So he was established at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Established, but this is like his first big, big lead, right? Yeah. And big, big movie. This is, like you said, Animal House. And he's allowed to kind of do what he does. And it's just Bill Murray being Bill Murray.
I think it's funny when you see the movie that you can tell when he's ad-libbing because you can see the other people laughing.
Yeah.
Maybe not the person he's talking to, but the people to the sides. Where like when they're going around and they're all talking about where they're all from, people are just laughing. When they have the initial scene where they're sitting in the bunk room, whatever, and they're sitting around Holka, you can see Holka laughing. Like Warren Oates is laughing because he's just like, this is just ridiculous. Everyone's telling these stories and they're all encouraged to go off page and it's crazy what's going on here. And I think it's great to see a young Judge Reinhold, a young John Larroquette, a young John Candy. You know, all these young guys are just kind of coming into their own and they're able to just run with the crazy character that they all have.
So you got two guys, don't really know where they're going in life. Bill Murray, who's a cab driver, not doing great at that. He's got a bad relationship with his girlfriend. And Harold Ramis is, you know, teaching immigrants how to learn English and not very well. And
son of bitch.
Son of bitch. Shit. And
yes.
And what do they come up with a great idea? Hey, let's join the army. We're going to turn our lives around by joining the army.
You know why?
Lose some weight.
Because they want to be all they can be.
Three hots and a cot, man. Three hots and a cot. Right.
You can get that in prison too, though.
Well, you don't get paid as much. Is it?
I guess.
So they join up. They go to their local recruiter and get the interview and sign the paper. Dear Uncle Sam. Dear Sammy, they give the autographs and then they're going in. And all of a sudden the movie changes completely into a about the structure of the military and boot camp, and life isn't just do whatever the hell you want. You got rules to follow, and these guys are not rules followers. And you got John Candy coming in and into the group of 10, 12 guys in the platoon. These guys learning their gig under a very, very, very old school sergeant.
What's the sergeant's name?
Holka.
Holka, which Holka. Is just like he's a hulking personality. It's just a great. And what's Candy's name?
Oh,
he's Dewey Oxenberger. He looks like a Dewey Oxenberger. Like okay, I believe that. That's your name. You're Dewey Oxenberger.
And of course, Bill Murray is Winger, and he's just winging it.
He's Winger.
He's winging it the whole.
Years later, they have a show called Community about people going to community college.
Oh yeah, yeah, Jeff Winger,
and,
right?
And Jeff Winger is the character, and I think that basically he's channeling the same John Wick.
Yeah,
he's channeling John.
Yeah, sure.
Where you're like you're the too cool for school guy who's just trying to get by.
So they join the army. They're trying to get through basic training, and Bill Murray, of course, is the rebel. Can't keep his mouth shut, makes fun of people, and of course, him and Sergeant Holka are at odds immediately. And Bill Murray has got to get his act together if he's going to make this thing work. And somewhere in there during training, Uncle Holka, our big toe, Uncle Holka, gets hurt, and the boys have to go through training the rest of the way by themselves. Somehow they get through basic training. We're telling the story here, but they get through. They survive, and then they because of their antics of how they get
through graduation. What kind of training did
they? Army training.
Army training, sir. They get sent off to the European command to the EM-50 project. Is it the EM-50 project?
It's a Winnebago tank.
No, it's a heavily armed recreational vehicle.
You know what's funny? Before we started, remember you were talking about how, like, you know, the shows all kind of had the same formula. Animal House, Meatballs, Stripes. And I'm just thinking about it now, though. But Animal House had the vehicle at the end. You know, they took Flounder's brother's Lincoln and turned it into a tank.
It's more than a subtle hint about the military's intelligence. You know, let's throw money at something stupid and call it a defense project, right?
We'll heavily armor anything just to see what happens.
You know what was great? It had curtains.
It had curtains, yes.
I'm looking at it like, it's got curtains.
Hey, curtains. Custom cabinets.
the gizmos inside are like a video game, right? It's a very early video game era. And then our boys have girlfriends who are MPs on the camp, TJ Souls and
Sean Young.
Is this one of her first roles, Sean Young?
I think it is. And I read somewhere where she was only cast because she was pretty, apparently. But she was good, though. I thought she was great, too, though.
She was good. Yeah. She was the brains of the two of the girls. And they kind of become close with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. And so they, when they get off to Europe, the boys take the heavily armed recreational vehicle for a little spin against the rules of the camp and take it off to Austria for the girls for a weekend. The RV is stolen. That's what the military thinks. So John Larroquette, who runs the project, doesn't want anyone to know. So he gets all of his boys from this platoon and they go off to go get this thing back. Unfortunately, they make the wrong turn in the middle of the night and they end up in
Czechoslovakia, which is a lot like Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah.
I got my ass beat in Wisconsin.
Yes. So then all of a sudden it becomes a rescue mission, but not the way we thought it would be. So Bill Murray and Harold Ramis have to go rescue their boys in Czechoslovakia who are behind enemy lines with the Russians.
And Sergeant Holka recovers in time to join them.
I like that John Larroquette is walking around wearing some, like, you know, Swiss Alps mountain clothing, you know, with his wool tweed jacket and the William Tell hat or whatever the hell that thing is. He's so ridiculous.
He's blending in.
I'm blending in. I'm mingling.
When they're doing their training and they wind up singing that doo-wah diddy diddy dum song.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew the song except Candy and the guy who plays Francis. And Candy had everybody to his house for like a big dinner one night and they taught them all the song. And they said to this day, the Army still uses that for military cadence when they're doing marching, that's still funny. Do the song. Because it actually works.
It's absolutely.
It actually works in there.
That was so funny. The best is though, just the looks that they give each other. Yeah. Like when they start doing that, and Ramis just looks at Bill Murray, and they just kind of look back and like, oh, let's do it. Let's just go for it.
Just and they're all in. Everything they do is all in.
This is Candy's first big movie, right? He's done the SCTV thing. He's in a couple small background roles in a few movies, but this is it. This is like his first big coming out party, and you know, his career goes up after this movie, and he's really not, you know, a major part of the movie.
The scenes he's in, he steals.
Oh, he's, you know, just
when they're all getting their head shaved at induction, and he comes walking out holding his hair. That's tremendous. Like, he's crying that he's lost his hair. When they're sitting around in a circle and he's talking about he joined the army to lose some weight, and they're like, couldn't you just join the gym?
Oh my God. He's been gone since 1994.
Yeah.
He's been dead that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a short window.
He died on my birthday in 1994.
Is there a movie on this flight?
He made such an impact, though. I mean, as soon as he gets on that screen, he was just so funny. I love that guy.
How's it going, Eisenhower?
He has so much charisma, and he's actually a very good actor. He's not just like a comedian.
He's Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Only the Lonely. Only the Lonely is a great movie. I mean, that's where he had he lived. He could have made more of those movies instead of Cool Runnings. You know, that kind of stuff where you're like, okay, we don't need to be silly. You know, it's the one for you, one for me kind of thing. The ones for him would have been much better.
When they're in Czechoslovakia and the Russians stop the truck and they surround it, and all these guys in the platoon are, you know, hiding or are in the back of the truck, and the Russians are pointing guns at the guys, and they've got their own guns behind the tarp. John Candy, it looks like the Americans are going to shoot the Russians, a little standoff. And John Candy says, all right, here, boys, just hand the guns to them. His facial expression, he just completely turns from like hero to, all right, here, you guys can have the guns. We really don't need them. Yeah, go ahead, take them. He is so funny throughout.
Yeah.
It feels like a Marx Brother movie in a lot of ways. It's biting satire of the military and the establishment and why some people decide to go into the military, you know, to try to change their lives. And you get out of it what you put into it in a lot of ways. And that's kind of that's what happens in this case, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at his IMDb page for John Candy. From like 1981 on, he's working every single year, and he's in like 3, 4, 5 movies a year at that time. And they're not all small roles. And he's a headliner when you get towards the end.
Well, you know, if you time it right, you can do 4 movies a year.
Well, he's doing that.
You know, where you sit out and it's like, all right, we 3 months at a time, and there's no break. So, you know, Your family life is terrible. Your marriages break up. Life's awful, but strike while the iron's hot. You know, let's see what happens. And he's in Summer Rental.
Yeah.
Which is just another ridiculous, absurd thing where at the very end, he uses his ridiculously large underpants as the last sail to put him over the top.
Yes.
Like, he just is all in. He's okay. What? There's nothing to embarrass me. What do you want?
So he's the classic fish out of water, right? He's not the right person for whatever role he's supposed to be playing, right? He's the lovable guy, of course, but he shouldn't be in the army.
No.
He shouldn't be with the kids at the beach. He shouldn't be the babysitter. He shouldn't be all these things, right? And he is.
And it somehow works. When he's with Aykroyd and they're in the restaurant and if he eats the whole steak and it's the old 96er. Well, that's grizzle. Oh, there's no grizzle. You got to eat the whole thing.
Yes.
Or your meal's not free. You know, it's, okay. Get up. And in Stripes, the whole scene where he's mud wrestling, while he personally was very much opposed to the mud wrestling thing, he was, for the scene, he was all in. He was like, all right, well.
You're already wet. You're a lean, mean fighting machine.
It's just it's a solid movie. Everybody from like just the bit parts to the two leads to it's just so good.
Don't call me Francis.
Oh, that guy. So he's like poor man's Travis Bickle, right?
Yeah.
When you and your buddy tried to make it with a cow, I got a party with you, cowboy.
He's just so good.
It's one of those movies of that era. That so much of the dialogue is a part of my life. I don't even know that I'm saying some of these things.
I use the cough syrup line all the time. I've had too much cough syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have had so much cough syrup. And I call my wife Francis.
I can't
because it's, you know, don't call
he does.
Call her Francis all the time.
That's so funny. Whenever I hear Tito Puente's name, I think of this movie.
It's just, just a really, really well done movie, and it's so well acted, and it's so well written.
It's actually the story. It flows really well. It doesn't feel, you know, there's Caddyshack gets as highly rated or highly loved as it is. The story is kind of goofy, and it feels disjointed, and the way it was filmed, the way it was literally pieced together. At the time, it's not the most coherent story. This is actually a story.
Well, this movie has some structure to it.
Much more structure. It's a real big budget movie. You've also got Ivan Reitman and Harold Ramis now with a few movies under their belt. They're more mature. They know what they need to do to make this thing really sizzle.
1981, number one, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Still holds up. Still see it all the time. Number two, On Golden Pond. Couldn't tell you last time I saw it. Number three, Superman 2. Not a good movie. Number four, Arthur.
Never saw it.
Number five, Stripes. You're like, well, you know, you're the number five movie, but you hold up the test of time better than some of those other movies. And then after that, it's Cannibal Run, Chariots of Fire, For Your Eyes Only, The Four Seasons, and Time Bandits. Those second five films, I don't know that any of them would hold up over time compared to Stripes or Raiders of the Lost Ark, which you see all the time.
Barnicky, give me money. I see that a lot. You know, you haven't had the pancake treatment.
Aunt Jemima treatment.
That whole scene was ad-lib.
Aunt Jemima treatment.
And she just went with it. She had no idea what he was doing. And they said one of the reasons why Bill Murray didn't like working with Sean Young is she couldn't ad-lib during the scenes.
Oh, that's
that she was like in any scenes that they're in together. She's like, I don't know what's going on. This is I don't like this. And he was like, I'm not going to work with her again. You know, it's just funny when you watch real experts riff. It's like, I don't know if you're into jazz or music or something. I'm not, but I've heard it's like that when you get people in a room together and they play and it's you sit back and go, wow, this is crazy. When you get comedians to go and do that, really good comic actors with timing and they can figure it all out. They made a really good movie. They really did.
So these guys that we're talking about here, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Ivan Reitman, Candy, Flaherty, and Dave Thomas, just classic comedians and so damn funny. That's really it. Yeah. Chicago, bang, bang. Chicago. Joe Flaherty and that other actor, I don't remember who it is. When they're getting hammered at the border crossing and, that would look really good to pick up girls in Kiev. The RV. Oh, gosh. That's so funny.
I read something else and they said that Reitman wanted to get Joe Flaherty for a bigger role. So he said, get me Joe Flaherty. And they got Joseph X. Flaherty, not Joe Flaherty. And then he was like, who's this guy? Well, we got him. We signed him. He said he'd do it. So he's like, oh. This is the wrong Joe Flaherty. So then he wrote it. He got that role at the border where he's a border guard for Joe Flaherty. The Joe Flaherty he initially wanted as opposed to the other Joe Flaherty. Like, what are the odds? What are the odds?
Oh, boys, this is a good one. We love Stripes.
That was high school for me.
Post-high school for me.
Because you're old.
Hey, now. Slippery slope, man.
You'll get there, my friend.
Oh, I know.
Maybe not.
Keep it up, right? You never know.
So we went through the Glen Britton Rare 14 from Canada to celebrate our friends from Canada in the movie Stripes. It's such a good one, and we really enjoy it. And another one show, one drink with one great movie.
All right, folks. If you enjoyed this podcast, by all means, let me start again. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on your podcast channel of... Start all over again.
Easy for you to say. You should just play it off.
I know. I should. All right. Let me start all over again. All right, folks. If you enjoyed this podcast, please find us on... One more time. All right, folks. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Audible, boozedancing.com. And again, as I said in the beginning, if you got questions, comments, cocktail or drink suggestions, show suggestions, by all means, please email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers.
That's a fact.
Jack.
Cheers, boys.